You can squeeze my lemon till the juice runs down my leg.
Hi, guys, LA. Back. Brian Ingalls, back in town.
Hello there.
Ah, boo. I'll do it on my own. Never mind. I don't know. Something's going on. Brian Ingalls, welcome back.
Hey, I'm very excited to be back, ready to dominate.
Dominate. Like fucking hashtag Deflategate is dominating my life. First of all, I'd like to apologize to the state of California taxpayers because I'm... Oh, now
I'm late. Little late.
Drop. Because I'm freaking stealing money from the state of California because every hour something breaks in this Deflategate and I'm just like, pop quiz, everybody shut the fuck up and write while I sit here and read this 20,000 word Patriot rebuttal, which I thought was brilliant.
Well, I just want to hear, what's your take on it?
Take on the whole thing?
Yeah.
Tom Brady's getting fucking railroaded. There's no way that he's letting this Peter Griffin motherfucker from fucking New Hampshire, this minimum wage employee who's only there 8 days a fucking year, go into the bathroom with a bag of balls in the last minute. What if he fucks up? He was only in there for a minute and 40 seconds, okay? What if he fucks up and sticks the needle in and bursts one of the bladders in the balls? What if he drops one of them? They say there was like a slope to the bathroom. What if he drops one of them? Next thing you know, a ball gets completely deflated. Do I think the Patriots equipment staff were prepared to let air out of balls? Yeah. I think they were prepared to let air out of balls like every single... Does that make it right? No, but every team is willing to do that. Because it gets back to that whole thing in New York when the balls were supposedly at 16, which I don't understand. I don't know if you read that.
Yeah.
The balls were supposedly at 16, and Tom Brady evidently threw a fucking hissy fit in the sideline. So the word obviously has been out that Tom likes his balls on the softer end. Yeah. But there's no fucking way, he said to these guys right before the game, take the balls in the.
But they definitely at some point talked about it during training camp or some shit. I mean, like you said, the staff knows what they got to do to get those balls. The same thing in fucking baseball. You can't, the pitchers do whatever they want to do to get the ball feel good in their hand. I mean, it's to a degree, you can't fucking throw pine tar on the shit, but you can spit on it, put some dirt on it, and get a nice grip going. That's what they should be able to do with football.
And that's what they did. And they lobbied to change the rule in 2006 so he could get the balls and break them the fuck in. Who knows? Maybe they were deflating them and unflating them during practice and whatnot. But it was Mike Kensel, a longtime employee for the Jets for like 20 years. Yep. Obviously, there was an acrimonious divorce between the Jets and Belichick. Did the Patriots at one time take air out of the balls? Yeah, probably. Like all these other teams do. San Diego puts pine tar on the fucking towels and the ball and gets a stop that $25,000, which is like $2.50 to you and I. The Vikings, who's the Vikings and the Panthers, the Vikings, some other team.
Putting the balls
by the heater. NFL, stop that. Stop doing that. USC does it. Mm-hmm. The ball got boys taking freaking air out of the balls and it's nothing. So, hey, just stop that.
Yeah.
Mike Kensel and the rest of those guys, they overreacted. They thought, oh, shit, you know, Colts put this email out. Evidently, these emails are very common that teams put out these emails like, hey, look for this, look for that, look for that. It's gamesmanship. I get it.
But don't you have to, if I sent one out or if somebody sent one out, doesn't the league have to notify the other team? Hey, this team says look out for you, you know.
You would think.
Whatever.
You would think, but they don't have to. I don't sweat that. I don't sweat that. But the fact is, science. The ideal gaslight. I know way too much about this shit, kid. Look it. Obviously, my fandom of the Patriots is excessive. I love Tom Brady. But I'm the first to bash Bill Belichick. I'm the first to bash Bobby Kraft in a lot of ways. I think they're very lucky that they got the best quarterback of all time. I'll say it. Fall into their lap, and a lot of things went their way. I think Belichick inherited a really good program. I think Parcells did a good job, but regardless. So I try to look at it with an objective eye, and I've read way too much about this shit. And there's no fucking way that this guy went into the bathroom in the fucking 10-degree weather, whatever it was, versus Indianapolis in January in the AFC game, and tried to take air out of the balls last minute. What if he fucked it up?
Yeah, that's a real tight fucking window to be doing that. And there's probably a lot of activity going on around there.
Yeah, and you know he had gloves on. And the guy's going to be out there the whole first half. What if he had to really take a piss right before the game? I mean, I've had it as a coach. I'm on the sideline. I'm like, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. You just see a head coach disappear. He's like, shit, you know, I had too much coffee this morning, and I got to freaking piss or shit. But you never see it. You know, it's kind of weird how it goes. But the slapdicks who are making $8.50 an hour, $9.25 an hour, whatever the minimum wage is in Massachusetts nowadays. Piss before the game so you can be out there for a little game. He's there to watch the game.
Yeah, of course.
There's no fucking way. And the whole thing, oh, the deflator. That was in May. That gets slipped through the whole freaking cracks. He caught himself the deflator in May of last year. Like that's going to make a freaking thing. Those two fucking idiots talking about their beer pong and all that bullshit, other texts that were going back and forth.
Kind of gay, aren't they?
They would have slipped up. You know what I mean? It would have been a text like, oh shit, I was in the bathroom and something. You know, something would have fucking came out.
Yeah.
And the whole bullshit, oh, why wouldn't Brady give up his freaking phone? Fuck you. Why should he give up his phone?
What are you going to get off his phone?
Other than possible naked pictures of Giselle that'll be on TMZ in the next week.
Yeah, but the fucking conversations are all found on the other guy's phone.
Right, two-way.
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Like Tom's texting other people, oh man, I'm really nervous that Jim McNally from New Hampshire, who I never met in my life, is going to fuck this one up and ruin everything for me and fuck up my whole career.
Yeah.
Has he built up no gravitas, no friggin' goodwill? And then you got Troy Vincent, who played for the Bills and the Dolphins as a corner who freaking has been burnt multiple times for Brady touchdowns, making the punishment, posturing to be the next commissioner of the NFL. So, of course, he's going to come down high, especially the debacle, the bullshit they've had. And the running joke is, hey, Brady would just punch the balls out in the elevator. He only would have got two games. It's just the timing of the whole thing's fucked up. It's an interesting story. UNH is going to be offering a course on this shit.
What do you think is going to happen with Goodell? What do you think the finale is? Two games and Goodell loses power? I mean, he's fucking putting his ass on the line, too.
But that's the thing, though. All the 31 owners are freaking high-fiving him, even though behind closed doors are like, what the fuck? But out in public, you know, John Elway's like, the integrity of the Shield is paramount. You know what I mean? Guys like Elway say that, and then you got guys like Brett Favre like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Guys are having, like, are you kidding me? This is a thing?
And then you got Kraft kind of like breaking away. What do you think all that means?
I think the Patriots are the new Raiders. And they haven't thought of me in this whole thing, man. Like, I try to wear Patriots gear now and I'm crucified. Like I'm some kind of fucking leper.
Dude, hopefully they win it this year and they fucking blame it up their ass.
Well, they've galvanized the team. I think, you know, the us against the world thing that every team likes to, you know, push out there. I think it's really kind of true in this case.
Yeah, this is legit, yeah.
You know, everyone circled the wagons in New England, obviously, but in the rest of the world, you're a cheater. People love the labels. You cheat. What the fuck? What is a half a pound of PSI? And that whole ideal gas thing has proven them correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that deflated thing, you know how it is. New England people are fucking dopey, especially in May. This guy's been sitting around drinking friggin' eight fucking Budweisers every night watching the Bruins flail.
Yeah, what's his deal? He lives up
in New Hampshire. Yeah. And then the whole thing, like, why are the Patriots? He was interviewed like four times. The dude had taken off like 2 or 3 days worth of work.
Yeah.
When is he just going to come out, though? You'd think there'd be some kind of news organization. Maybe if I can scrape up enough pennies, a news organization that can just say, hey, we're going to give you fucking $500,000 if you can come out and tell us exactly what happened. That's going to happen one of these days. And there's no way he's going to sit there and go, Tom Brady told me to take the balls into the bathroom right before the game. He doesn't even know who this guy is.
No.
To go do this.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he said, hey, that was kind of coming down from the equipment there. Somebody below Tommy Terrific said, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to get these balls figured out. And he's like, oh, shit, I can duck into that bathroom for a minute and do it. If he's doing it, I don't know.
I hear you. It is plausible, but a minute and 40 seconds is not a long fucking time for him to run in there, unzip two bags of balls. NFL said, oh, we simulated it and we could do it. He probably had some fucking 25-year-old intern from fucking who does CrossFit every morning at 5:30, freaking run in there. Yep, took care of these balls. Some fucking fat boy, middle-aged guy from fucking Peter Griffin in New Hampshire is going to fucking, you know, what if he drops one of them.
What is he? I guess, is there some sort of tool, like a little wrench or something that he would just drop right into the ball and
Not that I know of. The only thing I know of is the pin and the needle, which I do think is very possible. He was on with the fucking needle. And if the same thing happened with the Jets for some reason, I don't know how the ball could have got up to 16 versus the Jets, but it did. And they were like, hey, this ball needs to lose air. No doubt in my mind. Homie would sit there on the sideline, just go like, put it between his legs, watch the game.
Yeah.
That's fucking plausible. If they caught him doing that, it's a $25,000 fine per rule book, which is the thing people seem to overlook that, you know, per rule book is a $25,000 fine. But everyone just immediately thinks sinister, like Tom Brady's meeting this guy up by the fucking tower at Gillette Stadium. Tom Brady's in a freaking black turtleneck and black sunglasses. And he's like, you know what you need to do. You know what I mean? This guy's like, yes, sir, Mr. Brady.
Well, what about getting, I mean, do you think anything with Brady giving the guy autographs and all that shit?
I think that's standard. And I think the guy probably at some point had some kind of, well, first of all, that guy's a part-time employee. So May, he's probably not even around.
Yeah.
So he's fucking texting Deflator in May. Yeah. And this is like the big thing that sticks.
Yeah.
Of course, ESPN skips down the narrative. ESPN also skips the fact that per ideal gas law, all these balls were within the normal range of what they should have been after being out there. And the fact there's two different meters, ball pressure gauge meters that they were looking at. And on one of them, they were all fine, and the other one, they weren't.
But and then, Walt Anderson's memory was fucked up.
Yeah, Walt Anderson's like, I use this one. And then Ted Wells and his mustache of authority. That's another fucking thing. The guy's getting millions of dollars to do this shit. Are you kidding me? I would do this for like 10 grand. I'm a neutral. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This guy and his fucking mustache of authority. Yes, around for. What do you mean you were calling you the Deflator? And it's possible that generally Tom Brady had an idea that he liked his. He's guilty of saying he liked his balls soft. Yeah.
Yeah.
You like your balls soft, too.
And shaven.
Across the chin.
Teabag your mouth shut.
Boy, I spend way too much time on this shit. The country is spending way too much time on this shit.
It is fucking crazy.
And everybody likes to bring it back to Spygate. Do you even know what Spygate was?
I remember it, but I thought Spygate was a fucking another kind of made up disaster. Like, they were videotaping, but every team was doing it. The Belichick was doing it kind of after the warning went out, and that's what happened.
Very simple. The NFL said you could tape anything that goes on the sideline as long as it's in an enclosed structure with a roof and two walls. You can tape anything on the sideline. So what the Patriots are doing, where they're recording the defensive signal caller for the Jets from their own sideline with a camera. So what they were doing was not illegal, but where they were doing it from was illegal. So Belichick turned around and he said, well, I thought it was illegal if you just didn't look at it during the game, which is total bullshit. It's why Bob Kraft said, you know, you're a real schmuck for doing this. And all of a sudden now, you know, public, no... Everybody thinks Spygate was Patriots were filming practices of other teams. And that was a bullshit, too. That was a made-up Boston Herald story that they soon retracted.
But when you're taping the team, are you going in at halftime and looking at that shit, or is it for down the road? When
they were saying it was for down the road, and there's no way. I'm telling you, there's just not enough time with everything that goes on in the game. There's no way they're going to go into the locker room at halftime and be like, I figured it out. When this guy puts two hands on his fucking chin, when he puts two balls on his chin, that they're going to freaking strong safety blitz. There's just no way it matters. What they would do is they would take it, and then they would slice it together with the defensive plays, and they would say, okay, for the next time we play them, anytime the guy comes with a hatchet motion, okay, they're going to come with pressure.
I gotcha.
And that's what they're doing, which was perfectly legal if you did it from a booth.
Yep.
But they didn't do it from a booth. They did it from the field. And Mangini was like, they're doing it from the field. There's no way Mangini thought it was going to turn into what it turned into.
What happened to him? He's like he went to ESPN and then
last
Raiders.
I knew he was an assistant with the 49ers.
Oh, okay.
Once those guys get in.
Yeah.
They got jobs for life.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to get you.
Yeah, I know. It ain't going to happen. I don't even have a high school job right now, kid.
Oh, fuck.
I'm enjoying my free agency. No, it is.
You're in love, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm in love. I'm in love with my free agency. I'm trying to skip the spring.
Yeah.
In the summer, I'm trying to go home for 6 weeks, and then once the season starts in August, I'm going to show up and be like, hey.
Are you
you want me or not?
Talking to some schools and all that kind of thing, or what?
I'm in negotiations with several schools. No. Actually, all right, we're going to turn this into fucking about me. What the fuck? I don't care. I'm going to be a PE teacher at an elementary school next year, which I'm pretty excited about.
I'm just
going to go one of the schools in the district. I'm like, hey, you don't even have to pay me. I'll be an assistant coach. I know I can get a job to be an assistant. And then lick my wounds and try to get a head coaching job in the next year.
What the current job you had, the school, did they, I don't know what you call it. not renew your contract per se or whatever it is?
No, I'm leaving by choice.
Okay.
Time to move on. You know, I need to get stale. Things get stale. I don't want to teach fucking English anymore. It's the worst.
I bet.
Oh, kid, you're coming in a bad mood and someone just starts taking personal attacks on you and shit. You know what I mean? And you ask them to put the cell phone away 15 times. It'll drive you mad.
Yeah.
I don't need that shit. I want to go run around and play fucking hula hoops with fourth graders, at least for a year or two. The only thing I'm afraid of about that is fucking sunscreen. But I digress. We're freaking all over the place. We're here to freaking talk about weighted balls and fucking half a pound of air. And the thing is, people are so dumb. They think it like they could catch the ball easier. Fucking, if that were the case, they would have figured that out years ago, which they probably haven't. All the balls would have been out there deflated. People fail to realize the referees handle the balls on every single fucking play.
So they would know if it's fucked up or too low or too high. I mean, they
should.
To. Yeah.
You know, no more than Tom Brady would know. He was generally aware that the fucking equipment guys are weird, too. They're like jock sniffers. You know what I mean? They're not fucking real athletes. You know, I've never really been athletes. They just kind of fucking hang around like team manager types.
Dude, at Cowboys training camp, there's like 20 guys that are like running around putting the ball down,
right,
doing this. I mean,
right,
they're all over it. I don't know if they're half of them even paid or grad assistants or whatever that kind of role would be.
Exactly.
It's all, they're all doing something. But,
and you know damn well they're all sitting around going, hey, Tom likes this ball soft.
Yeah,
hey, Tom likes this ball soft.
Yeah.
You know they're fucking, that's what they're doing. So there's a huge difference between him saying, hey, I have a preference of being a ball a certain way, and telling some fucking jamoke to go in a bathroom and fucking take air out last second. Why would he tell him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear.
How do you even know him? Go. Say something.
I was just going to say to you, dude, so say refs in the middle of the field, puts the ball down,
yep,
and Patriots are marching down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady throws a couple passes, and every, yep, time the guy puts the ball down before the center snaps it, one time he feels the ball's mushy.
Throw it out.
That must happen every single game to where these guys start with 12 balls and they get down to six, but no one.
It might. We got to call us, Slash Fredette, New Hampshire. Give us the freaking New Hampshire. Please, Slash, bend down the hatches. Tell us what's going on in New Hampshire.
How we doing, Coach?
Good.
What's going on, B.I.?
How you doing, buddy?
All right.
Talk some sense.
So what's going on, guys? How we doing?
Kid, we're good. Give us the microphone's yours. Give us something.
It's obviously Deflategate. Let's hear it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me ask you this. Let me start with a question. If this was Jacksonville, would we be dedicating all this time to this shit?
Of course not. It's the best team in the league. That's given.
Look, there was probably cheating, and the Brady was mildly aware of it. I'll cop to that. I don't doubt that at all. But how far are we taking this, man? I mean, this is out of hand, no?
No, shit, you haven't listened in the last 15 minutes. My blood pressure just went to 140 over 100. Yeah,
I mean, I don't understand how you can, you know, throw your old lady down on a bunch of firearms on a futon, or you can knock out a lady, and then you're getting two games, and this guy's getting four for something. He might. This is what I think happened. If you want me to say what I think happened, I'll
please do.
Let's hear it.
Look, I think this. You can tell from all that information that there was a game where the balls were all juiced up. They said the league fucked us there at 16. I bet you Brady probably chewed into those guys. He doesn't like them that way, and he's like, look, I like them low. All right? Now, whether he explicitly or implicitly said, I don't think he said, I like them 11-5, I like them 11, I like them 12-2. I just think he said, I like them low. And then they were like, oh, do you like that? We got him nice and low for you. And he's like, yeah, I like them low. So we don't even know that he really encouraged them to do something illegal. They might have taken some initiative on their own. I don't think they would have done it without Brady telling them to do it. But what did he really tell them to do? That's what we don't know. So when you have that much doubt and you're gonna penalize the guy a quarter of the season and fuck me in Dallas, I might add, when I go to that away game, I mean, I don't understand where they're coming down with that. So I think they're going to backpedal. He's bearing the cross for Ray Rice. That's what's going on. That's where that penalty was like that. Goodell could fuck up a free lunch, man. And he had to look tough somewhere. And how else to look tough than do it with, you know, against the golden boy of the league?
Well, it's Troy Vincent, too. It's Troy Vincent trying to posture for the commissioner job when Goodell leaves. He's trying to say, oh, I'm the no-nonsense guy. But you know what? The suspension aside, which is complete bullshit, part of me wants to see Garoppolo run him and see how they do with that. It's the fucking first round pick, kid. How much do you think that's worth?
The first round pick is it's too much. It's too much. And you're saying the biggest, the worst thing that's happened in this league, I mean, it's not the $1 million. You know, obviously, Kraft's got that in the couch cushions, but it's the symbolism, is it? You're saying that the worst thing that's happened in this league and its history is an underinflated football. I mean, come on, man. There's no, they have no, the league has no credibility with this. And that's why I think, I mean, obviously, it's us versus the world. Everyone hates New England because the cream always rises to the top, and everyone hates when the cream's really sweet and it ain't there. But you know what? I've even heard some people come out and just say, hey, this is too much. This doesn't make sense. I mean, anyone that follows this league and sees how much of a fuck up Goodell is has to at least acknowledge that this is not well handled on their end.
What do you think is going to happen? Is Goodell going to listen to this appeal, or is he going to be smart enough and get out of the way?
They're going to walk it back. They're going to walk it back, maybe a game, maybe two games. And I'll tell you what, too. There's more than a few people out here frothing at the mouth to see some Jimmy G time.
Yeah.
I hope all those people are right. My only thing on Jimmy G is I like what I see too, but I think a lot of those amazing throws that he fits in there against the threes and the fours, again, the twos and the threes are going to be picks against the ones. He's a fucking gunslinger, man. So I don't know. All I know is, you know, if you want to say Brady was fucking up to some shit, that's fine. He might have been up to some shit. You want to say I don't like the league, I don't like the Patriots, and they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt because of Spygate. I get that. They're going to ride some of that. But don't try to tell me that Brady isn't one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback to ever play the fucking sport.
I know.
And I mean, all I know is he just shred Seattle's fucking defense and won the MVP in a Super Bowl where we know those balls were legit. So what the fuck are people talking about with that?
You know, the football Philistines, man. Let me take a ball that's inflated at 10.5 and drill it off your fucking dome and freaking tell me if you can tell the difference between 10.5 and 11.5.
I know it.
It's
I
know. Absurd. I
mean, if you ask me between these two things, pumping in crowd noise when the opposing team's on offense, or these balls might be a little softer for the quarterback to throw, that's a pretty clear indication to me about which one would be a bigger advantage.
No,
you know?
No. And guys like Casablanca freaking like, oh, Patriots should have taken the mess. Are you kidding me? That's a systematic team-wide fucking thing where many people are involved in that. And if you're sitting on the sideline as an owner, you'd be like, shit, there's some crowd noise being pumped in. Everybody knows that, and they didn't get anything. What did they get? I don't even know what they got out of that.
I think they got like a $300,000 fine or $350,000 fine, and then like some dude that was unrelated and like a, you know, an administrative guy got like a suspension for a couple weeks or something.
Which means
that's
nothing.
That's what they got. But that's because they're Atlanta Falcons. We take pity on them because they're such a fucking pathetic organization, dude. You know, this is when it's the best team and the most visible guy. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you know, we got a bad reputation here on you know, everything else and how much we're mismanaging the league. So let's kind of look tough right here. You know, it's just the wrong time for this to go down. But I just feel like Brady's either got ice water running through his veins or he truly believes he did not do anything. Because I can't believe that him fighting this hard helps him any. You know, I mean, what if he? How far does he want to take it?
Dude, it sounds like he's, you know, heels in. It's like he got caught in bed with another girl, but he's denying it. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, Brian, wait a minute now. No, 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 no. I think he believes, and I agree with him, that he didn't do anything wrong. Other than the fact he let it well known that he likes his balls fucking soft.
Right. He likes his balls soft, and we don't know how far. You know, it could have just been that. Hey, man, I like him soft. Well, I got him real soft in that game last week. Did you like that? Yeah, those felt good. Well, like, we don't really know how much encouraging there was there.
Jesus, Slush, that sounds fucking dirty. What are you doing in your fucking little apartment there in Nashua?
Don't you worry about what we do.
Balls soft, and yeah, that did
don't
feel
you worry
good.
About what we
that
do
did
over
feel
here.
Good. Let's just talk something on the field real quick. What do you like what the Patriots did in the draft? I give you 5 minutes and you're out. We're kicking you off my fucking radio. Go.
Well, then that's going to bring your listening ship down to about zero once I hang up. That's fine. I love the first pick, man. That guy looks like a beast. So I like that. I like that they kept trying with a couple defensive ends because if your secondary is going to suck, then let's get someone that gets off to the quarterback and get some pressure there. I don't know why they drafted a safety that I can beat in the 4-yard dash, though. I don't know why that guy is supposed to go fifth or seventh when as high as he did for us. You know, I mean, what the fuck are we doing there? Because the guy can diagram some plays. We love him.
Really?
Jesus Christ.
In the history of the bad draft choices they've had in the secondary, too. Like I said, I'm the first one, you know this, to freaking bash Belichick, even though it's tough, especially after this last Super Bowl. But, I mean, what are they doing in the secondary is my question. However, their front seven looks great.
Well, it does, but overall, you have to say, with the, you know, subtraction of Revis, this team is not as good as it was last year.
And Browner, no doubt about it. But they'll find someone in the second, in the back end. I don't know. You're going to Dallas, Brian Ingles. Did you know this? You're going to send him up in some kind of VIP?
We're going to try. The office told me they've never seen demand this high for tickets to that game.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, everybody.
And I'm sorry, the demand's probably only getting greater because if that, you know, let's say he gets that suspension, walk back, he gets his potentially Brady's first or second game back.
Be seriously hard on City for me.
Are you going?
Yeah.
All right. Fuck this. I'm going too. Get a fucking ticket. I'm fucking finding a way, kid. I'm going.
That'd be for good time.
Everyone's doing it. All I know is this: whether that suspension's fulfilled or not, he's definitely going to be back for Indy, and I hope we hang 100 on those rat fucks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really? Yeah.
You know Belichick's going to get those guys fired up for that.
The owner of Indy's driving around with fucking OxyContin and fucking illegal cash fucking that he hasn't paid taxes on, and that motherfucker's going to blow the whistle on the Patriots with a needle.
I mean, you can't tell me this. There might not be a sting by the league, but those guys were definitely sitting there rolling their hands trying to find something on us, and they knew what to do. I mean, they were lying in wait for it.
Oh, the guy,
you know?
Mike Kensel.
So you can't fucking tell me.
That guy, Mike Kensel, was like storming up and down in the equipment room like, you guys are fucked. We got you. The guy who worked for the Jets for fucking 20 years. You know, there's got to be some animosity towards Belichick there.
Absolutely. And I tell you, the only word I can use for him is rat fucks and fucking Andrew Luck. He isn't ready for prime time. I'm going to push through those fucking guys like Swiss cheese, dude. I hope we hang 100 points on them and fucking humiliate them. That's what I want.
Oh, yeah.
You always get what you want, Slush. That's true. Right. Hey.
The greatest. The Patriots having an awesome season, going deep in the playoffs, fucking, you know, pushing through a Baltimore maybe, pushing through Indy. That would be the best revenge we could possibly get.
I'm just going to galvanize Brady to play 6 to 7 more years. Tom Brady, do me fucking dragon
about it.
Huh?
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. And I do want to see Jimmy G. You know, the part of me fucking wants the Patriots to go 2-2 and look average and then Tom Brady come back and save them. And so people will stop saying Well, again, I can't bash Belichick after this last Super Bowl, but it's fucking TB who's doing it for him. Never mind.
That game that he played, that Super Bowl, was fucking brilliant, besides that one horrendous interception.
know what else I thought was brilliant? I don't know if you saw that they had Gronk laser tags, sign-in name, and his email address. It's the same email address you have, Slush. chickmagnetforever@yahoo.com. Isn't that fucking weird?
And yours, oh, craziness.
Is it yours, Chick Magnet Forever 1 or something like that? No?
No, my Prime Minister of Paradise at Yahoo.
Yeah, speaking of Yahoos, get off my fucking airwaves. Thanks for calling.
All right, Patriots versus the world, fuckers.
Yeah.
Later, buddy.
Later, Slush. Oh, now I'm sweating. I think it's the coffee or the beers or just the friggin'. Can we talk about something else for a minute?
Sure.
What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the fucking Cowboys, by the way. What is going on here? How are they going to sign Greg Hardy like that?
I don't know. I'm surprised that they've got Hardy. They got the guy Gregory. They got the guy Lael Collins, the lineman. That. So they've got three guys that are
questionable characters at best.
Oh, yeah.
But ballers, all three of them.
Yeah. Yeah. People are excited about it. I mean, if that guy Lael Collins he's supposed to be a first-round pick, so you put him on that offensive line, they're fucking loaded on the offensive line.
Best O-line in football.
Yeah.
Which I always think is the way you win games.
Hardy, I mean, he'll be at camp, so we'll see him there, but I don't know. He's going to be gone for 10 games. I mean, literally, that's 2.5 months. He won't even come back till fucking what? Like early November? Right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but, you know, part of me is like, if they can just hold tight, you know, 10 weeks and play 9 games and 6-3 at that point. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting a guy who has no wear and tear in his body.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? A guy who's going to be coming fucking like a bat out of hell. I even noticed in high school football, okay? Say a kid gets suspended for a week or something happens and he can't play a week and doesn't play. He comes back, and I'm telling you, this happens all the time, and they are so much faster than everyone else who's been pounding their bodies for a day or two. And then it evens back out. But you got a guy who has all-pro talent and doesn't play for 10 weeks and is just keeping in shape and not getting banged on his body. Fuck, you know, I think it's a score one for the Cowboys. The guy can come back and they're still in contention.
Yeah.
If they're in contention.
The thing that sucks is losing Murray, man, because they really haven't replaced him at all. And he was a fucking beast. So we'll see what they end up doing. I mean, obviously, there's a long time between now and the season. So.
And who they replace him with, McFadden?
Yeah, they got McFadden. Some people are excited about him. And then people think Randall's going to step up. Who knows?
The guy who stole, what, women's panties or something? What did he steal?
Cologne, boxers, and then he got arrested this offseason for hitting or doing something domestic. I'm not sure what it was.
Was it, did he have domestic? Did he get suspended for it yet?
I don't think it was, no charges, but, you know, cops were called. He was fighting over, a lady said she was pregnant.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah, exactly.
I can understand that, why he would fight that.
Yep.
I don't get it, though. The Cowboys can, you know, Jerry Jones is the first one to be like, oh, I stand by the commissioner.
Yeah. Well, did you see when Jerry Jones was talking about that guy, Leo Collins? He was like, his eyes were watering up. Like, he was almost in tears about how this guy has persevered through this murder charge and all this shit, and talking to his mom. His mom's like, I know, you know, if I was playing against Leo, I wouldn't want to be in front of him because she thinks he's just going to have, you know, kind of whatever that word was you're using, he's going to be fired up.
His rage. He's going to bottle up his rage and he's going to play. What exactly, his girlfriend? I didn't follow that story as much. I was too worried about deflated balls.
He had a girlfriend that was older than him that got murdered.
Quite a bit older than him, right?
Yeah, she was like 28. He's like probably 21, maybe older than that. But she got murdered. She was pregnant, and it doesn't sound like it was his kid. So what they're thinking now is possibly another ex-boyfriend whose baby it was did it. But to have that come out the day of the draft, dude, the guy just lost all that money.
Yeah, it really does fuck him up. And the way the draft is, he's losing tons of money.
Yeah, so he tried to withdraw from the draft, but they wouldn't let him. He wanted to go in the supplemental draft. And I'm sure you're familiar with that. That is, I forget when that is, later this year.
I think it's in June.
Yeah, and you basically, it goes round. So if you want to take somebody in the first round, you lose a first round pick next year. So you kind of when you want to do it. So he wanted to do that, but it didn't happen. So he signed, and he got what's equivalent to like the 75th pick in the draft, that money. So he got like $3 million, $1.65 guaranteed, something like that. So,
which is a complete bullshit. Especially if the guy's being, if nothing sticks to him,
yeah,
he has to sign a multi-year contract. Am I wrong, or is this a 1 year thing?
No, it's a rookie contract. I think
and he gets stuck for like 3 years on that money because of something that he may not have had anything to do with.
Yeah, I mean it's a terrible story, but it's not the worst story, you know.
No, it's no worse than a guy getting suspended for air. Well, fucking air. Yeah, and the guy's going to make money. Cry for me. Like, we're sitting here fucking, oh, poor multimillionaire playboy married to a supermodel, Tom Brady. Oh, I feel so bad for him, you know what I mean? But I feel bad for me, man. I can't even wear Patriots shit and freaking outside without almost getting into a fist fight in every fucking bar I go to. Seriously.
They're the new Raiders, man.
I know. I would love it if Brady just wears black all season, coming into the games, and they show him just fucking black turtlenecks, big black glasses, and just goes all in on the fucking, grows out a beard, just goes all in on this bad guy persona.
Be awesome.
Never happen. The only things that would be awesome that never happen. In my life.
Oh, yeah.
In my life. Why am I hearing all this shit about Marcus Mariota and his contract now? It's like every fucking Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk, it's like Mariota's not going to play next year, or something's going on with his contract. He can't get a contract signed. They're saying he's not ready to be a starter and all this shit. No, never mind. Not a real story, but it seems like everything I click on is like Mariota's contract in danger of not playing this year.
But then Winston signed like the day after the draft.
He signed before the second round even started.
Wow. So I don't understand. But I mean, all that money's slotted, isn't it? Kind of get this, you get this, you get this.
I don't know. I don't get it. They're trying to say that he's, I don't even know what he's trying to say. Speaking of ex-Cowboys, see Herschel Walker and his fucking kid. You see that fucking video?
Not the video, but I read a little bit about it.
Twisted is Herschel Walker, by the way? He's fucking a weird guy. He's ringing. Oh, yeah. He's multi-personalities, right?
So am I.
His kid is, not that there's anything wrong with his kid is, let's just put it this way. His kid's a cheerleader in fucking high school. You can tell me that's cool all you want, but I don't believe it. I never will. As a guy, you know what I mean? Call it fucking homophobic. Call it what you want. I just don't think boys should be cheerleading for other boys.
It's homophobic.
In high school. Okay. I understand in college, those are all big fucking ripped guys with, a big fucking handful of ass. But in high school, I don't think it's that way. Am I wrong?
It would not be a very popular thing to be in high school.
I don't even know why I brought it up. I just think it's funny. I think Herschel Walker's got a lot of skeletons in his closet.
So what was the video of him and his kid?
Yeah, how proud he is of his boy. He's going to be a scholar. He's going somewhere on a some kind of scholarship. His boy Christian in competitive cheer, and he just blatantly freaking gay kid. You know what I mean? Fine, whatever. Call me what you want, but he is. He's like a light-skinned, because I'm sure Herschel has some kind of ringing beautiful white wife somewhere. Mm-hmm. Light-skinned kid with long hair, very androgynous.
Oh, sounds hot.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. My point is, Herschel Walker is, I don't know. How about the Rams? The NFL website's got an LA Rams page. How's that even possible? Now they're talking about Stan Greinke's going to move, try to get a team in LA, not be in the Rams. And that the Rams are going to try to stay there and sell it. He's going to try to sell the Rams to stay there.
Yeah, it sounds like it's getting confusing. But what's amazing is seeing these cities hop through these hoops at, you know, an amazing pace to be in the running. But normally, like something like this, like building a new building would take a year to go through all this bullshit of paperwork, where city councils are just passing the shit right away because they want to. They don't want to lose on this opportunity, because whether you're in Carson or wherever the other stadium is going to be, you want to get that, you want to get that team there. Inglewood, they want a team there.
No kidding, they want a team. And I can't believe the Rams are freaking bitching like, oh, the Rams are, St. Louis is bitching, this is our team. It's not your fucking team. It's a Los Angeles born team.
Yeah. I bet they, I don't know what's going to end up happening. Ideally, San Diego gets off their ass and they build a stadium. I'd like to have them down there. Then you get a team to LA. But if you get a team to LA, it's going to fuck me personally for work. So that's kind of a bummer.
Why?
I mean, it would take up people dive into that, stop buying more Cowboys. USC would fall down the pecking order. Training camp would leave LA. It'd suck.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you just got to figure, if you have a table full of jerseys and you got Cowboys on there and a couple other teams, you get a new team coming to town, that whole table is going to be all the new team. I mean, everybody's going to be buying that shit.
Yeah, good point.
So.
Yeah, but you're still going to have your Cowboy fans. People going to really jump ship like that?
Not jump ship, but it'll definitely, you know, it'll take up a piece of the pie for sure, man.
Yeah, true. There's only so many heads out there.
Yeah.
Can't go in a whole episode without talking about Johnny Manziel. Say he looks great. Say he looks great. After 2.5 months of rehab.
Yeah, but was he working out? Can he throw still?
Of course he could throw.
I don't know.
And he moved to an old age home or something like that. He moved to an old age golf course in Cleveland.
He must be really fucked up to have to go to that extreme.
2.5 months is a long fucking time to go to rehab.
Yeah.
He must have really been dabbling in some shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he must have been fucking around with pain pills, opiates or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think he's going to be back. I reckon that's the start. I think he's going to be good, kid.
So who do they have? It's Connor Shaw and McCown?
Yeah, but they're all freaking saying it's all McCown and Mike Pettine and all that bullshit.
Is there no morality left in this world?
I should put that one more often.
That's a good
that one. It is a good one. Not as good as this one, though. Oh, never mind. Never mind. Technical difficulties. Gary Upremian. And I'm fucking, talk about the Dolphins. You know, I'm so sick of Don Shula. I want Don Shula to just fucking go away. I don't want to say I want the guy to die, because that's a little bit morbid, but I just want him to fucking go away.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's freaking piping in more shit on freaking Deflategate. We never deflated the ball. Shut the fuck up, man. The 70s was such a twisted decade, first of all. All those fucking people in the 70s were fucking loaded. Everybody was zooted. Did you see the documentary No-No yet on Doc Ellis?
No. I've heard about it.
That's on Netflix.
He's on LSD, right?
Well, if you stop watching Gilmore Girls on Netflix and stop watching Pretty Little Liars and watch freaking some sports documentaries.
Oh, by the way, Mad Men finale tonight.
Season finale?
Show. Done.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're DVRing it.
Yeah.
I don't watch that shit.
It was good.
Fuck that. Fuck that guy, too. What's his name, then? The star of the show?
John Hamm?
Yeah. Did you see him in his freaking...
Huge penis?
Well, I don't know. But he was doing something when he was at the University of, was he at Texas or something?
Oh, hazing, they're burning a kid and shit.
Weird shit, burning kids and fucking teabagging shit. I know you do that type of stuff out in Santa Monica, but that don't play out in the sticks, man.
Nah, I'm sure it doesn't.
But now this guy's fucking, why are we talking about Mad Men? I mean, we're sitting here talking about Mad Men, talking about deflated balls and fucking Mad Men. But I was getting back to Gary Upremian.
He's a kick of the pass away?
The kick of the pass away. Have you seen the pictures of that dude? He's like... Like 1972, he's like 27 years old. Looks like he's 55. The fucking people, man, I'm telling you, the gene pool just changed.
Why is he such a well-known kicker? Just for kicking on that team? Or did he kick like the straight toe shit? Is that?
I'm not sure if he was straight on kicker. The reason he's really known, well known, is one, he was kicking on the team that won back-to-back Super Bowl titles and was undefeated.
Was he one of those kind of five or six outspoken guys on that team?
He was. He's from Cyprus. He was a foreigner. Okay, you don't see a lot of guys in the NFL from Cyprus.
Talking Cyprus, California?
No, Cyprus off the coast of Greece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he was a guy that it was a botch snap in the Super Bowl.
Oh, and he's running.
And he fucking like flips it over his head. He looks like he'd never been on it. He was like the stereotypical kicker I'm the most unathletic person except I kicked
touch the ball. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit has changed now. You got guys like Vinatieri who could probably, you know, suit up and play fucking strong safety for a lot.
Well, Vinatieri's, when he was a rookie, remember, he kind of got famous for when he ran down Herschel Walker?
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, they were saying, now he's more than just a kicker kind of thing.
And he's been on the Colts longer than he's been on the Patriots. Time goes on. Just feel old.
Older. He's a Hall of Famer, right?
I think so. I don't know why kickers don't get the recognition they deserve. They lead the league in scoring every fucking year. It's a kicker who leads the league in scoring.
Yeah.
And it passed over like nothing.
Yeah, Vinatieri, though, seems to, at least in my mind, crossed over from that kind of kicker category to, I don't know, you know, kicker, but a little bit more important in terms of.
He's an NFL icon. I mean, the guy's, you know, two game-winning Super Bowl kicks.
And then the one in the snow, and fuck, he kicks, you know, he's automatic.
One in the snow, you mean the tuck rule game?
Yeah.
Have you seen that video on the tuck rule, that the whole, like, little documentary? It wasn't a 30 for 30, but it was a little duck.
A short?
It wasn't a 30 for 30, but it was, you know, ESPN thing. And the thing that always stuck with me was the tuck rule, and you try to tell people about it, but then, you know, it's the same type of thing. The Patriots cheated, you know. Mm-hmm. That really started that narrative.
Yeah, yeah.
That game started that narrative, and it got snowballed into the quote-unquote spy gate. And then, obviously, this thing, and also, you know what didn't help out was versus the Ravens when they went out there with a high school formation. And everyone's like, oh, they're cheating. It's a fucking high school formation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But all those things and the fact that they're winning and all that. But to get back to the point on that whole tuck rule game, the referee only had one angle on that of that play. He was going through the hood there. He had one angle. As fucked up as that is in the NFL and the infinite fucking dumbness.
So how have we seen multiple angles? How come he couldn't get more?
Because we're sitting at home getting the feed from all these fucking satellites. But, you know, there's flaws in those systems.
Of course,
and
yeah.
That was before they had a guy in New York going through. So he was going through the hood. And he had one angle of it. And the angle it kept showing was blocked out. And it did look like Brady was like coming forward, and then you saw a guy's helmet, and you really didn't see him put the ball away. You just kind of saw him get hit. And that angle made it look like, oh, that was it. Again, that's a story that gets reported very limitedly.
Yeah.
And the fucking weirdos like myself who sit and watch all this shit fucking over and over again see that. I'm like, yeah, you can see why the referee would say, hey, that's, you know,
yeah,
just the one angle he could see over and over again. And the NFL just, and the integrity of the game. I like the way Jim Turner bring in the guy from the Dolphins, line coach.
Jonathan Martin. Yeah.
Jonathan Martin. Now, the whole time they're saying Jonathan Martin was suicidal. Not that that make anything right or anything wrong, but Richie Incognito got railroaded too.
Mm-hmm.
They were, they were hazing him in football. Oh, you know.
Now, Richie Incognito does come off as an asshole, but at the same time.
He's an asshole, but doesn't mean he doesn't have a right to work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And that's why I think the Bills are going to be more fucking entertaining. It's going to be another entertaining. It's always an entertaining season. Someone brought up to me, like, do you think the NFL knows what they're doing by creating this controversy? No, they're not fucking smart enough to realize.
Do you think the Patriots should unveil the
banner?
On the first game if Brady's not playing?
They should just, yeah. No, I think they should wait till he freaking plays. And
that's kind of like one of these hashtags. It's
yeah.
I forget what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I know.
But you know the NFL is going to say, dude, no, you have to do it. But if the fans, I mean, you can't. Dude, the fans will do some sort of revolt where they won't go into the stadium.
I would think the best thing is, and for all, you know, the three Patriot fans listening, probably two of them now because I'm sure Slush went to bed, they should just not go to the first game.
Yeah.
How about that? That just go sit in the parking lot.
Yeah. No, I'm going
How about that? That would be a statement. If nobody fucking showed up to the game, let's hit the NFL, we'll hurt them. Of course, you know, kind of hurts the Patriots as well because they lose a little concessions and stuff. But poor Bobby Kraft.
Yeah, he did. I think that he'd be more impressed with the message that the
solidarity.
Nation, yeah.
We all Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Bob Kraft, Jesus Christ, him and his girlfriend fucking drive me nuts, man. She's what? She's younger than I am.
Yeah.
She's like 30. She's like 36. She's like 30. She's like what? Well, let me see. He's what? I don't know. She's like 35 years younger than he
is. Yeah, it is a little weird to see a guy who was so, when you saw Bob Kraft, you saw Myra, and they were like so tied together in terms of my perception of him. She passes away.
Right.
The body's still warm, and he's moving on to some other takeout.
It's some piece of trim, you know, that he's on. And she's obviously with him for the money. He's a little fucking fat, pudgy Jew. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, the racism. Oh. So I love this show. You can't say stuff like this on the radio. You'd be fired in a second. I can't call a guy a little pudgy Jew in the real world.
He's done something right, man. I mean, he's
no doubt. No doubt about it. He married Myra. Do you know the money came from her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I would just think he would be a little bit more discreet. But good for him, I guess. But wouldn't it be a little bit angry at your dad if you freaking mom and life.
You have to think that Jonathan Kraft's like, dude, come on.
Yeah. He's younger than, you know, if my old man, which would never happen because, well, you know, for obvious reasons, the old man, but if he like, you know, saying it, and then all of a sudden he's with the girl 40 years younger than him.
Your age.
Yeah. Younger than the Krafts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Obviously she's in it for the money, and we all just take this as something that's cute. That's cool. You know what I mean? So I'm the first one to jump on the fucking bash Bobby, although I like what he's standing up because if they didn't know anything wrong, they knew anything wrong. Bash Bill Belichick, bash Bob Kraft. I'm the first one in line on that. But don't fucking do it to Tom, man. Still real to me. Oh, sweating. Michael Irvin says he's going to be a mentor to Randy Gregory, so he must be happy about that.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully that guy does something. I don't know what he's going to be playing defensive end, so... Anybody we get is helpful, but I'll tell you what, man, we didn't sell any jerseys on draft at all. None. We drafted that kid from UConn, the Jones, the kid that had the crazy broad jump and like the kind of Mike Mula of the world.
Yeah.
And they drafted him, and I didn't have one customer want it. And I don't blame him. No one knows who the hell the guy is. He's probably going to be, you know, backing up Brandon Carr.
Those are the things that I don't get from a marketing standpoint, why a lot of these NFL teams don't jump on stuff like that a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, you draft a guy like Manziel. Maybe you don't think he's going to be all that, but you know how many fucking Johnny Manziel jerseys were sold? Of course, a lot of that just goes in the league, though, huh?
Yeah.
But the Cowboys are different.
Yeah.
Cowboys make the money off it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, fuck, I mean, I'm, you know, in terms of sales, I would have loved to have had it, but in terms of the long-term future of the team.
I don't know why Jerry Jones, I think they're snoozing. Why don't they offer up like a fourth and a fifth round pick from future years and try to steal Nat Manziel making the jersey sales off that shit?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'd be crazy.
Alone, I would think the Cowboys would be a little bit more in tune to that. What do I know? But you know what I'm saying? Because Romo ain't going to play forever. He's what, 34?
34, and they got, I forget, I don't even know who they have on their roster anymore.
Who's his backup?
Yeah, because Orton's gone.
They got rid of Whedon?
No, we have Whedon, but they got like a undrafted guy, I forget who, but, you know, we'll see. They'll probably have 4 or 5 guys out of camp, and you see those guys that are just kind of out there throwing the ball around all day.
Yeah, and I think these teams overvalue these fourth and fifth round picks.
Mm-hmm.
When they can go out and get a guy that's going to at least sell jerseys in the short term. And Manziel doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out.
Oh, yeah. I think now would be the time to get him because I think so many people are down on Manziel. I mean, fucking everybody thinks he's...
He's in rehab. Everyone thinks he's going to be nothing, and I still think he's going to be all right. And there's a few guys out there that are the same way.
You think Manziel's going to start a game this year?
Yeah. I think he'll do all right. I think he's going to have some games where he plays well. But guys like, you know, Matt Barkley, you couldn't throw a 7th-round pick... For a guy like Matt Barkley, who would have been a top 5 pick if he went out the year before.
It's crazy. You know, we didn't ever talk about Tebow with the Eagles and what you...
Well, the show goes on without you, Brian.
I know.
Talk about Tebow.
Well, kind of catch me up on what your thoughts are.
You mean you don't listen when you're not on? For shame. Anyway, I think, there are 3 coaches that have kind of gone on a limb for Tebow. Urban Meyer, Bill Belichick, and Chip Kelly. And those seem to be, even though you can dispute all you want, those the 3 like people regard as kind of the brain trust of the coaching circles in the NFL. If those 3 guys see some merit and value in this guy, there's obviously some merit and value in this guy. You know what I mean? I find it hard to believe all of a sudden he can throw now. but if you use him strictly as a two-point conversion quarterback, he'll be hell. And a holder, if you use him as the holder on PATs and then just bust out into a formation and try to
once
run.
You could do that like once a month or once a week or
and
whatever.
And people would be terrified. They would never rush fucking field goals. Or you line up for a fucking field goal and it's, you know, fourth and three.
Like at 40 yards.
At the 35-yard line, all of a sudden Tebow just goes, whoop.
Yeah.
He slides under. The defense is going to be like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? They're going to be on their heels and not going to be looking to block that kick. Just as a holder standpoint, for that alone, I think merits, you know, and fucking jersey sales, although the Cowboys should have signed with the same rationale we just talked about.
That would have been fucking
crazy. About jersey sales. Talk about the Eagles, too. How about LeSean McCoy running his mouth like, Chip Kelly doesn't like black people. Like Kanye West. Come
that's
on.
Hard, that's hard to believe. But
yeah, he plays, okay, LeSean, he places you with freaking your boy, DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
How could anybody in today's NFL coach and not like black people?
No, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Just dumb. And people put a microphone in front of this guy's face and like takes it as word. Oh, yeah. I think Chip Kelly is a racist. He may be. He's from New Hampshire. He may very well be a racist. Told you about that time I almost fought him.
Nah.
Told that story a million times. It really doesn't go anywhere, but I almost fought him in my own head. Well, I was, okay, real quick, what the fuck? We both work in the BC camp, and he was there with his people, and I was working for Holy Cross at the time, and the Holy Cross coach, who was my boss, who I actually didn't like, and him were enemies, and he was like, with his buddies, you know, like, look at this guy, and then like looked over and laughed at me, you know, I was like, what the fuck, you know, I had like six Budweiser in me, and I'm like, what? Like what? You know, like it's like fucking.
You're drinking at this football camp?
Yeah, at night. Kid fucking football coaches, the biggest philanderers and fucking drunks.
Okay,
yeah,
I thought this was on the field or something. Where is this in the dorm? Was this in the dorms?
That
or
would
shit?
Be awesome. No, yeah, like pretty much.
Okay.
And like they have a fucking social.
Yeah.
Every camp in the world like that. Dude, football coaches, the biggest fucking scumbags and philanderers, and they're all sitting around. I mean, this is a big football camp. It's the BC football camp. You know, guys from. From everywhere, being a roll of the fucking, well, not to Division I, of course. Now they've opened it up, this new rule where they can go to different camps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they're all sitting around looking to see who's going to fucking go to the strip club and stuff like that. I mean, football coaches are scumbags, kid. You know, that's why the integrity of the game. Football players, football coaches in general, fucking deviants, man. They're fucking so much testosterone and so much. You know what I'm saying? And the fucking whoremongers and Warren Sapp types.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that shit, Warren Sapp, right? That was awesome. That video, fucking Warren Sapp. You know?
Stop talking and blow me.
Up for what? Yeah, right. Up for whatever. That's a fucking another thing. Bud Light's pissing me off. I've been in two bars in the last 2 weeks where they have some like young kid, some young girl comes up to you with an iPad and then want to fucking film you do something stupid for the Up for Whatever campaign. You haven't had that in Santa Monica?
No, I mean, I've seen the commercials, and I couldn't imagine how annoying it'd be if somebody came up to me and asked me
to twice it happened to me in, like, fucking podunk bars in Pomona.
Would you just say, get the fuck out of here?
Well, you know, I was like, no. I mean, you know, fuck, you could put my dumb fucking face ringing on your Up for Whatever commercial. Yeah, I'm up for whatever. Yeah! I'm going to go out drinking with Jerry Jones. I'm up for whatever. And Warren Sapp.
Yeah, no shit.
Does this game have no integrity? Does Bud Light have no integrity?
Well, hey, finish. What happened?
With what?
With Chip Kelly.
That was it. I was like, what's up? It's like, what? Like, we got something to say? He's like, yeah, all right. That was it. And I was like, yeah, all right. And I left. We had like six of his boys with him from UNH.
Oh,
And I was by myself. You know what I mean? I'm like, am I going to really start a fight in here?
No, but why? He was just picking you out because you were wearing some Holy Cross shit?
Yeah, essentially. He's probably intimidated by my good looks as well. He's like,
who was the coach at Holy Cross?
The cutest brother in this room, and he's coming this way. Tom Gilmore. He's been there for like fucking 12 years now. Psychotic. Legitimately fucking insane. I cannot believe he has been able to hang on to his job. I mean, he's nuts.
Wasn't there a Holy Cross coach that passed away, though?
Yeah, what's his name? Which is weird. Dan, fuck, his name will come to me in a minute, but... He had an office where my office was, and he claimed when they redid the floor and with some kind of chemical and shellac that it caught him like some kind of neurological disease.
Yep.
That's a story for a different time. We're out of time already. Brian Engels, good to see you.
Great to be back, bud.
Try not to follow us on Twitter or do whatever it is you people do. Hide Yards LA, back next week. Out.